Good morning again, Valley Brook family and friends. And I want to welcome you to this premiere and exclusive event, which is called Sunday, September 13th, 2020. This day has never happened before. This day is a unique blend of events, of ideas, of interactions, of experiences, all configured uniquely by God for His eternal purposes. The chief one being to build His church and ultimately bring all things under Christ. In other words, this is the day that the Lord has made. It is a glorious day that's never existed before. We're in it together, and praise God for allowing us to be a part of it with Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. After today's message, my niece Anika Beatty Mills will be giving us a worship selection, so stay tuned for that. I want to jump right into today's message. The message is titled, I Will Build My Church With You. I will build my church with you. And the you there, I'd like for you to put in parentheses or put a comma there and put your name. I will build my church with you, comma, Laverne. Or I will build my church with you, comma, Donna. So that is our message. And let me just say this as at the outset. This is a different kind of message for me. And in order for you to gain the full benefit of what I'd like to share with you today, and I am going to be sharing, I'm going to be talking with you about these ideas. And for you to gain the maximum benefit, I'd like you to imagine that I'm talking to you personally and individually, that we're not in a COVID environment and I'm sitting down across the table from you at a restaurant or in your home or sitting in the living room on the couch and you're sitting on the chair catty-corner to me. And I'd like you to personalize this morning's message. Last week, I told you our message was an overview and that throughout the month, we're going to get more specific. Well, today we're going to move from the general to not just the specific, but to the personal. And I'm going to ask you to not assume that you're sitting in a crowd of people. I'm going to ask you to assume that it's just you and I talking one-on-one this morning. I'd like you to turn with me then to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 11. And let me say this too, that at the end of this morning's message, we're going to have our care through prayer time. We're going to pray for you and with you. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I do not have a main idea because I think the title speaks for itself. That's what I want you to hear this morning. I will build my church with you, whoever you are. Your name inserted there. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? As I read this, I thought, well, I probably would have piped up and said something like, well, you know, because this is not something that we see every day. I don't know what the angel would have said in response to that, but I think that would have been a reasonable response, don't you? But the angel went on and he said, this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. Hallelujah. You know, as I read that, my spirit was stirred, thinking that we're a part of this story that Jesus is telling. We are a part of what he's talking about here. All of what he mentions in verses 1 through 11, we are connected to that story. As we saw last week, Jesus said he was going to build his church on the truth that Peter professed, namely that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So he told them then the what. Now he tells them the how it's going to happen. Last week, we considered how Jesus wasn't saying he was going to build the church on Peter or on any one person. When he said, I'm going to build my church on this rock, he was speaking about the truth that Peter professed, and not Peter himself, but he was going to build the church through Peter. Not on Peter, but through Peter and every other believer, including you and me. And his word says, wait, don't leave Jerusalem, wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. Wait. You know, remember from last week where the Lord says, I will build, and we emphasize that truth, that I'm going to do this. I will build my church, so wait for me. He said, wait for me. I'm going to build my church. And as I said last week, he knew he wasn't even going to be here on earth physically. This is what he was talking about. Wait for my spirit. Wait for me. Don't jump the gun. Don't forget, I'm the one who is doing this. My Father has a master plan, and that plan has a timetable that he has set. So wait. You know, wait is such an important word in God's economy, and it's such a challenging one. Saul lost his reign as king because he didn't wait. And on the other hand, the walls of Jericho fell down because Joshua did wait. And we're promised in the book of Isaiah that those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. You know, in our I can do it world, let me add it. Let me make it happen. Let me make the difference. Let me be the it. Let me be the catalyst. God's plan often involves waiting. And I can do it stands in stark contrast to Jesus' words in John 15 when he said, apart from me, You can do nothing. You can do nothing. So don't jump the gun. Wait. And he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Oh, thank you, Lord. You shall receive power from this, from the amazing, mystical, all-powerful Holy Spirit. You know, yesterday at breakfast, I was telling my grandson, as we after we finished saying grace, he usually says grace and then I'll say grace. Well, after we finished, I said, you know, the reason why we thank the Lord for our food is because everything comes from God. And I explained to him how we're able to move. Things grow because God makes them grow. We're able to move because God is giving us the power. God is the one who provides the power for everything, just like the batteries power your toys, I said to him. And then after breakfast, we were about to have our couple's virtual meeting on Zoom, and there was a general power loss, a blackout in the whole area, and all the power, everything just shut down. So my grandson comes running out of the bedroom into the kitchen and he says, I guess God turned the power off. Well, you know, we never have to worry about God turning off the power. Because the power doesn't just come from God. He is the power. And he lives inside of us forever. See, Jesus wasn't saying wait because y'all don't have intelligence. He wasn't saying wait because you guys don't have skill. He wasn't saying wait because you all don't have talent. He was saying wait because you don't have power. That's why. You don't have power. The Holy Spirit is coming into your life to empower you to do something that you simply cannot do. I'm going to build my church. I'm going to do it through you, but it's not going to be by you. It's going to be by me. It's going to be by my power. So wait, and you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, because you don't have it. Not the kind of power that is needed. Not the kind of power that's needed, because we don't have the spiritual discernment that we need. We don't have the spiritual wisdom that we need. We don't have the internal fortitude that we need. We don't have what is required to build his church in this enemy-infested zone that is called planet Earth. We simply don't have it. We can't fend off the evil one's relentless assaults with worldly, human, natural weapons. So wait so that the Holy Spirit can give you the power that you need to build my church through me. When the Holy Spirit was first given, they had to wait. So he said, wait. Now each believer is instantly indwelt by the Spirit. We don't have to wait to receive the Spirit. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, Ephesians says that the Holy Spirit immediately comes to live inside of you and seals you forever as belonging to him. So we're not instructed these days to wait for the Holy Spirit. Instead, we're given different instruction. The scripture tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Don't wait for him. You got him. Now the instruction to us is to be filled with the Spirit. Say, well, Pastor, what in the world does that look like? Well, there's no magic prayer to pray, no matter what anybody tells you. There's no incantation, no chanting, no special ritual that you have to go through to be filled with the Spirit, because it's a product of our fellowship with the Lord. To be filled with the Spirit simply means to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's how it is described in the book of Ephesians. He says, don't be drunk with wine. Don't be under the influence of wine, but be under the influence, be filled with the Spirit. And that comes through our relationship with him, not through a magic formula. As we cultivate our relationship with him. We are filled with his spirit by his doing, in his timing, in his way. And sometimes those ways are unexpected. So there's a mystery about being filled with the Spirit, but it's not something that is a mystical process that we're in control of. We build our relationship with him, and he fills us with his Spirit. Now, this title that we're looking at, I Will Build My Church With You, and you put your name in it, it's a pretty provocative title. And I have a sense that you probably didn't take me too seriously when I said that. I think you were probably compliant and nice, and you probably did it because you love Pastor Dan and because you want to be respectful. And those of you who are on the erroneous side of the theological scale, and this is erroneous, but sometimes we think this way, God's going to strike me with a lightning bolt if I don't. Okay, so no, that is not... I suspect that you probably did not take me very seriously when I said that. Maybe you did, but I'm going to emphasize it. I will build my church with you. And I'm thinking of some of your faces. I will build my church with you, Roland Walters. I will build my church with you, Norma Beatty Robinson out there in Louisiana land. I will build my church with you, Jean Perrin. I will build my church with you, John Wesley. I will build my church with you. All of you Valley Brook people looking, expecting your name to be called next. I will build my church with you. It's uncomfortable. I want you to say that. To yourself. Say that to yourself. God's going to build his church with me. God is going to build his church with me. Did you say it? I'm listening. God is going to build his church with me. It's uncomfortable. It's even scary to say. We may be tempted to deflect and say that's flattering, but does the scripture really indicate that Jesus thought that personally about me? About me. When he was talking about, I will build my church, did he have me in mind? Or did he just have that little cadre of disciples that he had been ministering to for 3 years in mind? And perhaps the multitudes that he saw whom he knew would become converted through their witness. Did he have me all these hundreds of years, these centuries later, did he have me in mind when he said, I will build my church? I wasn't even born yet, you say. Well, the scripture says he knew you before you were born. He knew you before you were born, and not only did he know you, he prepared good works for you before he even made the world. This is what the scripture teaches plainly. He prepared good works for you to walk in before he even created the world. Now, those works are integrally related to the building up of his church. You know why? Because God doesn't do random. His ultimate purpose is to build his church. So what works has he prepared beforehand for you to do? He's prepared the works for you beforehand to do that are connected to the building of his church. See, the point here is not that Jesus is building his church with you to the exclusion of other people. You're not the only one that he's using. But you are as included and as essential as anybody else. That's the point. There isn't anybody in the pages of the scripture who is more essential and more integrally connected to Jesus's promise to build his church than you are. And you would be hard-pressed to find a verse that says otherwise. And so you can rightly say and emphatically say, thank you, Lord, that you are today building your church with me, and you've allowed me to be an integral part of the work that you're doing. See, the scripture says in Ephesians 4, each one of us are members of his body. Each one of us are members of his body. Each one of us is called to bring glory to him by our personal witness, by our personal experience of him. You know, you hear me regularly talking about how God wants to bless us with a growing fascination and a growing excitement and a growing astonishment with Jesus. Well, our fellowship with one another enhances our experience of him. That's how it happens. What you bring to the table as a believer enhances my enjoyment, my experience of the living God. And as I saw last week, that is the fuel that launches us into being effective builders of the body. So God is not just expanding the church. When he says, I'll build my church, he's not just expanding it in terms of adding numbers. He's also strengthening it. I will build my church also includes, I'm going to strengthen all of the parts of my church, and I'm going to use the various parts of the body to do that. I'm going to pick on Sister Flamina, who's about to step outside of the sanctuary. She's here this morning as part of the production team. She's here assisting her husband, Marlo, as they are working in the back to make sure that you guys can see and hear what's going on this morning. I'm picking on Flamina. Flamina is representing all of you. Flamina is representing Valley Brook. And for those of you who are not a part of Valley Brook, you know people like Flamina, and perhaps you are someone like Flamina. Flamina is a church builder. And what I mean by that is she enjoys building up the body of Christ. She enjoys encouraging brothers and sisters in their walk. She is one of the most consistent and eager encouragers that I know. I had to take some time out last week just to hop on and let her know how much I appreciate the work that she is doing to build the body of Christ by her consistent and heartfelt and focused and sincere encouragement. The Lord had Flamina in mind when he said, I will build my church. And so I'm going to create me a Flamina, and I'm going to equip me a Flamina, and I'm going to give her certain attributes, and I'm going to plop her in the 20th century, the 21st century, and I am going to use her to encourage Pastor Dan. And I'm going to use her to encourage the women of Valley Brook. I'm going to use her to encourage the men of Valley Brook. And by her encouragement, they are going to receive new strength. And they're going to mount up on wings like eagles. And I'm going to fulfill those promises through her. You see, he's not physically here, and his spirit lives inside of each one of us. And it is by his spirit and through his spirit working in each one of us that the church is built up. Amen. And that includes you. No one out there is exempted. Here's what I'm saying. There are no teacher's pets with God. There are, I don't care how many apples you put on his desk, there are no teacher's pets with God. God does not show favoritism, the scripture says. Nothing of the flesh, no human attribute gives us an advantage or a disadvantage with the Lord. Nothing of the flesh, no human attribute gives us an advantage or a disadvantage with the Lord. It's all spirit, it's all grace, it's all heart with him. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, we read these words, "For the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support the one whose heart is completely his." Not the one who looks great. See, it doesn't matter how you look with God. It doesn't matter how smart you are with God. It doesn't matter how old you are with God. It doesn't matter how connected or popular you are with God. It doesn't matter how talented you are with God. Nothing of our humanness qualifies or disqualifies us with God. Now let me focus that statement, because this doesn't mean that God will choose to elevate us above our human limitations so we can accomplish our earthly goals. In other words, if you're tone deaf, you probably won't make it as a singer. If you have zero athleticism, you probably won't make it to the pros. If your IQ is below 100, you're not going to make it into the Mensa Society, because it needs to be at least 132. Now, I have a really good friend who is a Mensa, and that's about as close as I'm ever going to get to it. God is not going to necessarily raise us above our human limitations in order for us to accomplish human endeavors. When I say that it doesn't disqualify you, that it doesn't matter to him, I am referring specifically to God's eternal purposes for you, the reason he made you in the first place, your connection to this promise that I'm going to build my church. Those things are not a factor. God can use some of them. He can use none of them. He can use all of them. But what really matters is his spirit and his power in you. That's what he said to the disciples. You're going to receive power when my Holy Spirit comes upon you, and I am going to do the work in you, and I am going to do the work through you. So wait, he said to them. That's why the song, "If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me," is such a blessing. Because boy, if it ain't the truth, if you can, and he can use anything. I'm often encouraged and blessed by the story of Samson killing 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass, because he took it and threw it away afterwards. Praise the Lord, Samson got that right, because he realized that the power wasn't in the jawbone. He realized the power was the Spirit of God, and he didn't need the jawbone. God could use a jawbone. He could use a stick. He could use a twig. He could use the wind. He could use nothing at all. And that's what he's saying to the disciples. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and the work is going to get done because I'm going to be doing it in you, and I'm going to be doing it through you. If there's one lesson we see from Jesus' earthly ministry, it's this. God doesn't see groups. He sees individuals. He doesn't see all the blind people. He doesn't see all the women. He doesn't see all the men. He doesn't see all the Jews, all the Gentiles. He doesn't see groups of people. He sees individuals, because there's no favoritism. And his eyes are roaming to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support that one, wherever he or she is, whose heart is completely his. Thank you, Jesus, for that. I hope you're hearing me this morning. I hope that you're taking this to heart. I hope that you aren't discounting yourself or disqualifying yourself. And here's what I want you to do with what you've heard. Say, well, what do I do with this, Pastor? Three things. First, I want you to respect how God has designed you. Respect how God has designed you. Don't wish you were somebody else. Don't wish you were like somebody else. Don't wish you had more of what somebody else has. Respect how God has designed you. I would go so far as to even say, marvel about it. Revel in it. Rejoice in it before him. Respect how God has designed you and see what he has done in your life, how he has made you, the way you think, the way you walk, the way you talk, your life experience. See those as a commission from him. Respect your role on the team that he's given you. Don't minimize your contribution to the kingdom. That's what I mean by respect how God has designed you. The second thing you can do is commend what you give to the Lord. What you give, I should say. Commend what you give to the Lord with thankfulness. In other words, commit it to the Lord with thankfulness. Every day, thank him for using how he has made you and what you give for his purposes. Approach who you are and who he has made you to be and what he's doing in you with thankfulness. Number three, launch what you give as an individual, as a believer, what God has placed within you, launch that from a heart of love. Launch it from a heart of love. The scripture says love never fails. And that doesn't mean that everybody's going to love your love. It means that as far as God is concerned, if you are launching it with love, you are right on target. That's what it means, love never fails. If you're wondering whether you're going in the wrong direction, if you're guided by love, love never fails. That's what it's talking about. Love never fails to keep you on the path. Love never fails to get you on the path. When love is your compass, you cannot fail. So launch whatever it is, whoever you are, no matter how small you may think it is or insignificant, launch it from a heart of love. And here's something don't do. Here's a don't do. Don't get caught up in results. Don't get caught up in results or impact. Not by how many people applaud you. Don't get caught up by that. Don't get caught up by how many people approve of you. Don't even get caught up in how many people notice you. Stay away from that, because God is the one who determines the scope of our effect. God is the one who determines the scope of our effect, but never confuse scope and scale with significance, because they aren't the same thing. The scope and scale of what you do does not make you more significant than someone else. And if it's a small scope and scale, it doesn't make you less significant. Scope and scale do not equal significance with God. God is never impressed by impressiveness. Remember what the disciples said when they saw the temple and they were just looking at it and saying, oh my gosh, look at how glorious this structure is. Jesus wasn't impressed. Because he knew what was going on in the temple. And he knew that God was not pleased by those who were in control of the temple. And he said, one day, a day is coming when not one stone will be up on another. God's going to make sure this thing just disappears. Because God is not impressed by impressiveness. You know the classic story of David being selected as king. When the Lord saw his brother. And he said, you know, Samuel said, surely this must be the Lord's anointed. When he saw Eliab. And the Lord said to Samuel, don't be impressed by his height. I've rejected him. See, because man, God sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Don't get caught up in impressiveness, because God is not impressed by impressiveness. He's the ultimate judge of what is significant. It's a matter of heart. And these three things that I mentioned to you here, that the to-dos, these are the ingredients of a heart that pleases the Lord. Faith, love, and thankfulness. Faith, love, and thankfulness. In Luke 16, it says, the Lord said, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men, listen to this statement, what is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. So don't get caught up in the glamour of what it is that you are called to do, because God's not caught up in that. The world may be, but God is not. God has a different value system than the world's. And the more we get to know him, the more we cultivate our relationship with him, the more that value system becomes our own. So the Lord says, I will build my church with you. None of you less significant than the other. All of you created in my image and then recreated in Christ for the good works that I prepared before you, before the foundation of the world. And they are all connected to my master plan, which is to build my church and to ultimately bring all things under Christ. I have chosen to work through human beings who have come to know me. You are one of those human beings. Approach your day with reverence. Approach your existence day by day with reverence. Understand that God is doing a magnificent work, not in a vacuum, in your life. What kind of work is he doing? He's doing a work that connects you with his eternal purposes. You see, people are often saying, and it always drives me crazy when I hear it, they say, you know, you got to find something that's bigger than yourself. And sometimes Christians get sucked into that too, and they begin to look for some worldly endeavor, some worldly purpose that will give them significance beyond their daily life. You have that already. You have that already. That is what I am trying to communicate with you this morning, is that God connected you to something much bigger than your life when he connected you to himself. He connected you with a purpose that is much bigger than your daily existence when he said, I have prepared good works for you to walk in day by day. And you know, you never know what those good works are doing. You know, sometimes God lets us see the impact. I was talking to my sister the other day, who sat in an airport just minding her own business, and this 90-year-old man, or 80-something, late 80s-year-old man, just happened to come and sit beside her and essentially said, tell me how I can come to know Jesus. She shared Christ with him. He became a believer on the spot and has not stopped bugging her since. He calls her up and he wants to talk about Jesus. He is 92 years old and is a newborn. And Jesus is his rattle. And Jesus is his playpen. And Jesus is his fascination. Jesus is everything to him. And my sister will be the first to tell you that she had nothing to do with it. It was the power of the Holy Spirit, his presence in her life, operating at a given point, in a given time, with a given person, for a given purpose, to build his church. And now that guy is a part of the family of God. He is a part of that building that is the church. And it's not just about leading people to Jesus. As I said, it's about building them up. Where would we be without your smile? Where would we be without your service? Where would we be without George? Where would we be without Marlo back there? Where would we be? We'd be less than. God would be gracious and would bring someone else to do what needs to be done, but he could never bring anybody to replace those who are not here, because you are a once in a lifetime, never to happen again event created by God for a limited time only. And boy, I pray that God would help you to revere his work in you that way. God is building his church through you. May the Lord add a blessing to these words and his word and to your heart in receiving it. Now we're going to take some time to pray for you. I'm going to ask my wife to join me up here. And on every second Sunday, we take time to pray for ourselves and for you. And so we're going to take just a few moments to do that.
Holy Father, as you know, we live every day right now in this pandemic, and it's hard to wake up or go to sleep, God, without thinking about it, without knowing it. If anything, God, we have to keep it on the front of our minds so that we will go out of the house properly prepared, Lord, and the wise things that you've given us to help protect us. But God, I have a special prayer about living through this pandemic, and you already know what's on my heart, and that's the children, Lord. I pray about our children, and I don't just mean our little children, because our children are our children always. I pray for our bigger, older children as well, as they go back to school, as they go to their jobs, as they go to the universities, when they have to leave our place of protection, that you have us believe that we're protecting them at home. They have to go from being with us, God, and go amongst so many others. Please, God, we just ask that you protect them. That if the school that they're going to, Lord, please still find a way for them to learn the things that they need to learn, the basics that you want the little ones to have, and the more complex things that you're teaching and critical thinking of the kids of the university. Father God, protect them. Help them to remain wise. Help them to know, Lord, that yes, socialization is an absolute thing that we all need and want, but it may not be so great right now to get in large crowds, Lord, without proper protection. Protect the children who are homeless. Protect the children, Lord, who don't have Wi-Fi at home or the internet. Find a way for them, Lord, and their parents who must return to work. Let them not have to worry too much, because let them trust and depend on you.
Amen.
Help us all, God.
Yes.
I pray these things, Lord, because I know that you have it in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
To care for them, to care for us.
Amen.
In your incomparable name of Jesus, I pray these things.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Lord, your word says, be anxious for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I pray for our inner life.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I know that many of us are concerned about what's happening externally, as my wife was saying, with this pandemic and all the other external issues that we face. You know, Lord, that we need your help. We need your care. We need your provision. We need your protection. We need your presence. And Father, I pray at this time for our inner life, for what's going on inside of each one of us. Lord, when you said to be anxious for nothing, that includes everything I'm anxious about.
Amen.
Be anxious for nothing. Nothing includes everything that I'm anxious about. Yes. Everything that weighs on my mind. Mm-hmm. Everything that weighs on my spirit. Lord, I surrender on behalf of my brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. I surrender my fears, mm-hmm. our fears. Whatever we're afraid of, Lord, we surrender it to you. Lord, I surrender my shame. Lord, whatever it is that I'm ashamed of, either something in the recent past or the distant past, I surrender my shame to you. My hurts, the things, Lord, that remain open wounds, I surrender them to you. My disappointments that have made me gun shy about stepping out again. I surrender that to you. Lord, my resistance to you. Lord, as you tried to move me in a given direction and I've resisted for whatever reasons, you know what those reasons are. I surrender my resistance to you. Lord, I surrender my pride to you. My futility. Trying the same thing over and over and over again with no results and feeling like it's futile, I surrender my futility to your grace. Every dark emotion, Lord.
Yes.
Every haunting notion.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, God.
For hearing and caring about all of it. Thank you for what you are doing in me and all of us.
Thank you, God.
Despite all these things.
Thank you
for showing us who you are in the midst of all these things. Thank you for how you're using each one of us to bless others with your love and your grace. And most of all, Lord, thank you for how you're using all of that to bring us all to a deeper understanding and knowledge of you. All of it creating a greater trust in you and a more vibrant relationship with you. And so, Lord, we commit to you these things by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and with reliance upon your precious Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 God bless you all, and please stay tuned for our dear sister and my niece, Anika Beatty Mills.